1 Samuel chapter 17, I do want to say this as well. I'm so glad I got to see Micah again. Amen. He and I had a great time together there in Papua New Guinea. And yes, I did pass out. So if y'all are asking, yes, I did. It's called water toxicity. I had no idea that if you drink too much water, it could be just as bad as drinking no water. And we had a great time. It was an incredible adventure. And we saw many people trust Christ as their Savior. And to God be the glory. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Will you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look with me in verse 32. This is where we'll take our text. For the Bible states this in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Let's pray together. Lord, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for this dear church. Lord, their dear pastor and his wife. Lord, his precious kids. And God, Lord, the people that are here. Lord, I pray, dear God, even tonight, Lord, may you pass over this place like a tidal wave. I pray, dear God, may you pass by every pew, touch every heart. Lord, I pray, dear God, tonight, Lord, may heaven come down and glory fill our souls. God, I pray, Father, Lord, may you move in a special way tonight. Open our eyes to the reality that outside these four walls is a mission field that desperately needs to hear the gospel. And I pray, dear God, tonight, Lord, will you please, Lord, break our hearts for the souls of men. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. You may be seated. It was in a great service. Young D.L. Moody was under great conviction as he heard the evangelist Henry Varley preach and thunder out these words: "The world has yet to see what God can do through a man who is totally yielded to Him." Moody was captivated by these words and resolved within his heart, "By the grace of God, I will be that man." There was a young single missionary. Her name is Amy Carmichael. She was a missionary to India. She said, "Does it not stir up our hearts to go forth and help them? Does it not make us long to leave our luxury, our exceeding abundant light, and go to them that sit in darkness?" I'm here to tell you tonight that there is a dark world outside these four walls, and they desperately need to hear the gospel. One of my mentors was Brother Stinnett Ballou. He says, "Either you're going across the street or you're going across the seas. Which one are you going to be? Which one are you going to be?" The question tonight is, will you go? Will you go? I want you to see, number one, there's the courage of a missionary. The courage of a missionary. For the Bible states here in verse 23, "And as he," that be David, "as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them." Verse 24, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and we're sore afraid." The courage of a missionary. I will tell you that the enemies of God are already waiting on you. They are already waiting on you. Notice what the Bible says in verse 1. Notice the word "now." Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. Notice verse 4. "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height and 6 cubits and a span." You say, "Brother Saunders, what does that mean?" It just means he was a big old boy. I wouldn't want to face him, amen. He's huge, huge. I will tell you that the enemies of God are already waiting on you. When I was a missionary in South America for a moment of time, the Catholic religion, they were already there. The Brothers of Penitence, originally Kelly and I, we were going to be missionaries to the country of Ecuador. We were going there as church planters. We had already raised our support. We went to Peru, and while we were in Peru, my wife became extremely sick. Long story short, the doctor said she could never live in a third world country. Of course, that didn't stop the call that God put upon my life. That's why we went out west and planted a church. But while we were there, I found out there's a group of guys in Ecuador. They call them Los Hermanos de Penitentes, the Brothers of Penitence. See, on Good Friday, these men, they will remove their shirts. They will put on a cloak over their face to hide themselves from the community. Because, see, these men are either rapists, murderers, thieves. God only knows what they've done. But they are so desperate to go to heaven that the Catholic priest has told them, if you will earn penitence, you might just see the gates of heaven. And so on Good Friday morning, these men, they will literally beat themselves with a cat of nine tails. Can I ask you a question tonight? Who here at this church would be willing to stand that same street and yell out to the top of your lungs, hey, you don't have to go that way. For the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 through 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Would you be willing to stand up against them? Who here would be willing to go to Papua New Guinea and hold up the signs that say the Sabbath cannot save? Hey, listen, friend. Listen, the Seventh-day Adventists, they're already waiting on you. They're already there. Who here would be willing to preach against them, stand toe-to-toe to them, and say, listen, you don't have to work your way to heaven. There's only one individual that kept the Sabbath. There's only one individual that was able to fulfill all the law. That's only Christ and Christ Himself. The law is nothing more than a schoolmaster to point us to the fact that we are nothing more than sinners and we can't work our way there. It's only Christ and Christ alone. The courage of a missionary. Who here has that courage? I'll tell you this much. Hey, listen, the Mormons are willing to invest. We talked about this just a little bit. We always joke around that mission trips for Baptists is 2 weeks. An internship is 2 months. But can I tell you something? As I'm speaking even tonight, I wonder if there would be a Mormon family. Listen, when that child is born, they start a savings account and they invest into it until he's 18. And I wonder even tonight if there would be a Mormon family that would get that special envelope in the mail. And their son, they're all gathered in the home even tonight. I can imagine that there's going to be a huge meal. There's going to be a huge celebration. And he has that special envelope in his hand. And that night, he would open it up and pull out the letter from the Church of Latter-day Saints. And it gives great explicit detail of his mission and what country he's going to spend the next 2 years of his life. And what are we doing as independent Baptists? Listen, it is a shame of what we're doing. It's a shame. Listen, it's going to take some courage. Listen, would you be the one that says, you know what? By the grace of God, I'll be that man. I'll be that lady. I'm going to sign up. I'm going to do whatever God wants with my life. Lord, it's yours for the taking. The courage of a missionary. Joshua 1:9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Do you know what we lack in our independent Baptist churches today? Some risk takers. Some risk takers. Oh, Brother Nathan, if it's not easy, I'm out. Brother Nathan, if it's not given to me on a silver platter, I'm out. God help us as mom and daddies. God help us not to raise up another wimpy generation. We need some more soldiers. That's what Paul told Timothy, to endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 15:26, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hudson Taylor, he was a great missionary to China years gone by. He prayed for 1,000 men to go to China. And one by one, God starts calling those men. And I mean, Hudson Taylor's so excited. And one night, he's praying to the Lord. He's talking to the Lord, and he says, Lord, you're calling more men to go, but Lord, what if they die? The Lord revealed to him, you know what, Hudson? They're all going to die. You know what, tonight? Each and every one of us, the Bible says, it is appointed a man wants to die. And after this, the what? The judgment. Now, we as preachers, we use that verse whenever we're preaching to sinners. But can I tell you something? The application is still the same for you and I as well. Yes, there is the great white throne judgment for the lost, but there's also the judgment seat of Christ. And that judgment, you and I will stand and we will give an account for what we've done for the sake of the gospel. I preach in a lot of churches. You know how embarrassing it is? I've actually done this before. In invitation times, I've actually asked this question before. Please don't raise your hands, but I've actually asked this question before. How many of you have never led someone to Christ? And I've been in big churches where the majority of people raise their hands. And I thought, my goodness, we are in a big mess. Listen, the world as we know it, it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And God is looking for some individuals right here tonight that'll say, Lord, I'll go. Lord, I'll go. Now listen, that doesn't mean you're getting on an airplane and you're going overseas. I understand that. But would you be willing to go across the street? I mean, listen, you got the big tent meeting that's coming up. Well, I'd be handing flyers out left and right. There are people that, your preacher is right. There are people that will come to that tent, but they won't ever come to church. Now, praise God, if they get saved, I'm praying they come to church. Amen? Yeah. But the courage. of a missionary. Number two, the cause of a missionary. Notice here in verse 29, the Bible says this. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Can you see the cause tonight? Acts 26 and verse 18. Here's a second time. You're going to hear this verse tonight. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. Can you personally take the Word of God and sit down with an individual and lead them to Christ? Lead them to Christ. I'll never forget that night. Micah's going to remember this. When we went to that village that wasn't too far from Brother Tao's village. Those two villages used to war against each other. Brother Tao's village has a church there. Pastor Tao is the pastor of that church. There's a neighboring village that they used to war against each other. Now they're at peace. Brother Tao is very burdened for that village. And so that morning he sent one of his preacher boys up there to that village. And they rented someone's yard, had lights up and everything. And so they put out massive speakers, and they put a platform with a pulpit and a microphone. And that this is with the invitation. They told everybody, they said, hey, come to the service tonight. You can hear the Americans sing, and you can hear an American preach. Most of them never even seen an American, so they're like, okay, yeah, I'll come. Little did they know that night they would hear the gospel. For some of them, probably for the very first time. And I'll never forget Brother Chris Hewitt was preaching. He was preaching on every sin in the book. I mean, on adultery, on fornication, on lying, cheating, stealing. He said on drugs. He started naming off different drugs like marijuana, cocaine. And he said, betel nut. And when he said betel nut is a drug. They chew on this nut, and it literally dyes their teeth red, and they spit it out like chewing tobacco. It looks like blood clots on the ground. And he said, you ought to give up your betel nut tonight. When he said that, this is what you heard in the darkness. There were like 300-something women and children in front of us, probably about another 100 of men, but out in the darkness, there were people everywhere on the hillside. And even while the message was being preached, Logan and Micah and several others would go out and beg them, come in and listen. No. They'd stand in the dark or they'd sit up on the hillside. But they still heard the gospel preached. It was so amazing that night. Pastor Tao, when Brother Chris was done preaching, boy, listen, he did preach on sin, but he also preached on the Savior. He preached on salvation. Pastor Tao came to that pulpit. And in English, he says, come and trust Christ as your Savior. Come out of the darkness and into the light. And boy, can I tell you something? He said it in English, and then he said in Motu, and then he said in Pidgin. We literally saw people physically coming out of the darkness into the light. He said, I need a men counselor. He had his whole church there. He said, I need some men right now to deal with these men. I need some ladies to deal with these ladies. I need some youth workers to work with these young people. And he said it over and over and over and over again. And that night there was like 80-something people that trusted Christ as their Savior. And not only did we see them physically coming out of the darkness into the light, but spiritually they were coming out of the darkness into the light. They were trusting Christ. 80-something people trusted Christ that night. You see, Brother Saunders, how come that doesn't happen here? You know what Pastor Tao told us? He said, Brother Nathan, right here in Papua New Guinea, right now, he said, we feel like we're living out the book of Acts while the United States is stuck in the book of Corinthians. How true that is. People there are so hungry for the gospel. You can literally drive down the road if you wanted to and take boxes of tracts and throw them out the window, and they'll hit the ground for a few seconds and be gone immediately. You'll find people reading them. Here it's just so hard, you almost have to bribe them to come to church. You know, come to church with me. Afterwards, I'll take you out to eat for a steak. Okay. There, you just say, I'd be honored if you come to church. Come to church tonight. Be our special guest. You know what? They would come in a heartbeat, hungry for it. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing? Is there not a cause? There is a cause. and it's reaching lost people with the gospel. Number three, there's the cry of the missionary. Notice here in verse 46, the Bible says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day of the fowls of the air to the wild beasts of the earth." This is the phrase I want you to circle with your pen in your Bible, that all the earth may know. That all the earth may know. Listen, when you wake up in the morning and you're still alive, hallelujah. God's giving you another day. You know why? That all the earth may know. When you go to work and you start working beside somebody, you'll have to look at them and go, man, they're lost. I'll have to give them a track at the end of the day. Lord, please help me to give them a track. You know why? Because that all the earth may know. You know, I guarantee you there are places around here, I bet you they're a different color skin. I bet you they speak a different language. I bet you they may even grow up in a different culture. You say, Brother Saunders, I can't go over there. Why not? Well, what if they attack me? You know what? We'll give you a trophy come next Sunday. Pastor, pay for it. We don't face persecution in this country. You say, but what if they're talking about me? Let them talk about you. My very first phrase I learned in Spanish was, un regalo para ti, free gift for you. And I handed out tracts like crazy. You say, Brother Saunders, but they're different than us. Let them be different. You know what they care more about the fact that you care more about them to come to their home personally. You say, what if I mess up in their language? It's okay. When I was in Peru, me and this other young preacher, we were all practicing our Spanish and everything, and he got up and he thought he was preaching on, bring your sin to Christ and he'll forgive you of your sin. Here's the issue. The word sin in Spanish is pecado, but that's not the word he used. He used the word pescado. The word pescado is fish. And while he's saying, bring your fish to Jesus, he'll forgive you of your fish. He said, what all did y'all do? We laugh just like y'all are doing. But that didn't stop him from carrying on, amen, continuing on. You know what? You mess up, it'll be okay. But it's going to take somebody that's willing to mess up and still try to reach them with the gospel. There is the courage of a missionary. There is the cause. There is the cry. Can I tell you something? You can have all three of those, but without the fourth one, it's all in vain. And that is the commitment of a missionary. The commitment. Listen, hey, your pastor is begging you to come to the School of World Evangelism. Your pastor is begging you to hand out those flyers for the tent meeting coming up. Your pastor is asking you to pray. Will you be committed? That is the question. Will you be committed tonight in reaching others with the gospel? Will you go? Either you're going across the street and reaching your neighbors, your loved ones, or you're going over the seas. Let me ask you a personal question tonight before I move farther on with this last point and I close. How many of you would be honest tonight and say, Brother Nathan, I've got lost family members, lost neighbors, co-workers, friends of mine, they're lost. Will you hold your hands up? Now can I ask you a question? What's stopping you from reaching them with the gospel? What's stopping you from reaching them with the gospel? You know, that great white throne judgment that's coming up, if we were to go over to the last book of the Bible called Revelation, in chapter 20, it talks about the great white throne judgment. In chapter 21, though, verse 4, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Do you know that word there? Do you know who it refers to? It's our eyes. Our eyes. That tells me that you and I, as Christians, will be there at the great white throne judgment, not to be judged, but to watch. And I wonder tonight, I wonder even while I speak tonight, if one of those loved ones that weigh heavy upon your heart, I wonder tonight if they were to slip out into eternity, I wonder what thoughts would come to your mind. I wonder how broken you would be. Because see, I can tell you what's going to happen at that great white throne judgment. Our blessed Lord Christ Himself will sit upon that great white throne. And one by one, through the pages of time and history, they will come with the chains of sin jingling between their wrists and their ankles. And one by one, they'll approach the throne of God. And one by one, God will say, is his name found written in the book of life? I can imagine that great angel flipping through the pages of time. No, it is not, my Lord. Angels cast in the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. But here's the sad part. That loved one of yours, as they're approaching the very presence of a holy, righteous, sovereign God, I wonder if they would look through all the throng of the saints, and I wonder if they'd lock eyes with you and say, why didn't you tell me the gospel? Why didn't you invite me to church? I went to school with you. You never one time told me you was a Christian. And look at me now. Look at these chains of sin. And all of a sudden you hear those heart-wrenching words, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Angels cast in the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels, that all the earth may know. Listen, it's not just one thing of just saying, here's a track. Can I tell you something? It's more than that. It's you being not only invested financially, because you do support missionaries. It's not only invested by just handing those out, but you completely, totally saying, God, I'll go. Lord, I may not be able to go overseas, but I'll send others that can. Lord, I'm willing to go across the street and tell these people the gospel before it's eternally too late, because I don't want them to ever point their finger at me and say, you never one time told me. There is the cause, there is the courage, there is the cry, but last of all, there's the commitment of the missionary. Look, notice here in verse 32, it's our text. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. It's one thing to say that you're going to do something, but it's another to show that you're going to do something. How many of y'all ever watched the Andy Griffith Show? Come on now, I'm preaching good tonight. How many of y'all remember when Mr. Darwin would come to town? He'd show up with the boys. Typically, his car is overheating, and he's at the town square getting water out of the big fountain, right? He was notorious for telling Andy, Sheriff Andy this. Sheriff, actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. It's one thing to say, I'm going to hand out tracts, Pastor. It's another thing to do it. It's one thing to say, I'm going to lead others to Christ. It's another thing to do it. See, but Brother Saunders, Brother Saunders, they're sinful. You and I were once sinful. We were once the enemies of God till the day we trusted Christ. Yes, they have their problems, but shouldn't stop us from going and reach them with the gospel. Notice here in verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand, choose him 5 smooth stones. One commentator said the reason why it's 5 stones is because one was for Goliath and the other 4 was for his brothers. If it took on one, he'd take them all on. Well, I wonder tonight, how many of you are ready to say, hey, bring them on, let's go, let's do it. The Bible says, and he put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his scrip, and in his sling was in his hand. Now underline this next phrase, and he drew near to the Philistine. Listen, if we're ever going to reach people with the gospel, can I tell you something? You're going to have to draw near to them. Can't do it from a distance. You got to draw near to them. See, Brother Saunders, but they look like they fell into a tackle box. I know, it's okay. But Brother Nathan, but they're all tatted up. I know, it's okay. Right. Don't worry about how they look right now on the outside. Just give them Jesus. Right. Christ will do the work from the inside out and watch what happens. Amen? God will change them. God will change them. But will you go? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Luke, if you'll come to the piano, just play something softly.